today on Real Radio.
God says, I've known your life before you were even formed in your mother's womb. I had a plan for your life. And when you read that, it's like, wow. No, nothing shall by any means harm me or hurt me.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series now called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter, with a message titled 100% Sanctification Guaranteed, Part 1. You know, Peter was, of course, a disciple of Christ who later on became the leader of the first century church. In 1 Peter, we saw how Peter lovingly cared for others and faithfully pursued his passion to spread the gospel to those around him. But here in the book of 2 Peter, we see Peter knowing that his time was limited and a whole lot was at stake. Now, for this reason, his words are urgent and his message is straightforward to combat the vain and senseless arguments of a godless world. In the very concept of what life is, we're expected to grow and mature. Maturity is every believer's passion, to be a total and complete person set apart from this world and set into the kingdom of God. Now in chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, Peter's going to teach us on the stumbling blocks of false teachers, false prophets, and false churches. So today on day 3 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that God never gives up on us. It's His desire that we grow in the understanding of His deeper truths. To have a thorough knowledge of God is not just through His written word, but also through experiencing His fullness and all that He has to offer. And now in his message called 100% Sanctification Guaranteed, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
He saved me from my sins, and ever since then, every day for the last 42 and a half years, I've been living with Jesus inside and out, upside down, left and right, day and night, black and white, hot and cold, obedience, disobedience. He never stops. He never gives up. Molding, shaping, sanding, polishing, chipping. And all along the way. So here's the thing. You say, Jack, did you ever have doubts that God even existed? Yeah, a little bit, honestly. Now, I had a little bit of doubt when I became a Christian that God existed. But then you know what I did? This might shock some of you. I got away from my Bible and I went, because I love science, I went and looked at science and it caused me to just get right back to my Bible. Now, some people might say, oh, no, that's the other way around for me. Well, that's your problem. My thing was this. When I was looking at the Bible, it's when I got away. Oh, mom, does God really exist? Is there really evidence that there's a God that exists? Then you look at science, and it's like, oh, my gosh, he sure does. Okay, and then I got right back into it. But then the next phase of doubt came. Does he love me? See, I know me. I know what I'm capable of. I know what I've done. I know what I struggle with. How can he love me? And you see, my dilemma was, I went down at a period of time, a 3-year internal spiral. Nobody knew it externally. Did I believe in God? Oh, I believed in God. Was I reading my Bible and serving the Lord? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Here's the problem. In the midst of it all, God, how could you love me, a wretch? God, I remember what I did when I was 17. I start educating God. If he would have told me, by the way, this is still true to this very day. If he would have told me, you know what, Jack, you're right. All the things that you did, thank you for reminding me. Out you go. I would have said, shall not the Lord of all the earth do right? You are completely correct in condemning me to hell, God. I agree. And the moment I had that thought, the Holy Spirit impressed upon me, Jack, you couldn't have agreed with that without me revealing that truth to you. You are saved by my grace. That's what's transformed you. That's what's transforming you. That's what shall transform you. And in all of that time and struggle as a young believer, he never abandoned me, never left me once. To his credit, thank you, God. I just kept going through the motions. You know, sometimes that's like that in a marriage. Let's be honest. Sometimes it's just dry, difficult. Life's busy, hard things. Life happens. You look over at the person sleeping next to you. Who is that? But you continue. The sun will rise again. Jesus, the Bible tells us, he'll never leave us or forsake us. And so we have this moral courage. God is eternal. His truth is truth. I'm 100% convinced of it. So here's where I'm landing on this regarding moral courage. I am going to stand. This, I'm not asking you to join me. I'm going to do it regardless, with or without you. I am going to stand to my dying day for the veracity of the Bible, for pro-life, for God's definition of marriage, for God's love, for God's ability to save all sinners, for God to hear our prayer, those things that are God's immutable presentations to us. So I don't agree with that. I get letters and mail all the time. Well, I don't agree with you. And how could you say this? And you, I don't, listen, I care, but I don't care. I am morally convicted that God's word is eternally true. This book looked inside my life and exposed me. This book looked inside my life and gave me exactly what I needed. This book looked inside my life and said, come to me. I will in no way, no wise turn you away if you'll come to me. Amen. And then to find out in life reading the Bible that I was a failed abortion, and then to come and find out that when you read the book of Jeremiah, God says, I've known your life before you were even formed in your mother's womb. I had a plan for your life. And when you read that, it's like, wow. No, nothing shall by any means harm me or hurt me. The conviction is if I get a brick thrown through my face because I believe that God saves by Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, what am I going to do? Call a doctor, get a Band-Aid. But I'm not going to change the conviction. I'm not special. You and I have brothers and sisters by the millions who over the millennia have died at the stake or were beheaded on the shores of Libya because they couldn't change their moral conviction, courage in the face of opposition to be set on course. And it's God's moral conviction he places in the heart. And then there's the word knowledge here. From virtue, knowledge. This is not the word epigenosko that we studied a couple weeks ago that was supernatural knowledge, that God gives supernatural knowledge. This is the word gnosko in Greek. It means, and I love it. Listen, are you guys bored?
No.
Okay. It's a hands-on, don't you love this? A hands-on knowledge. I like that. It means to have hands-on knowledge. It's to have thorough understanding by experience. I love that. Well, Let's read all about it. Let's do read all about it. But after we're done reading it, can we go do it?
Yes.
No, I'd like to stay right here in my office and read about it. Good for you. I'm out of here. Are you with me? Imagine. Look, it's. I know about those sequoia trees. I know about them. I saw them in books as a kid growing up. I've heard about them. You know what's better than reading about them and looking on YouTube about them and learn is going and touching them and squeezing them. I have to go like, you squeeze the, you know, they're really soft. That shocked me. I went up to one of those trees and I went like this. Actually, I went like this. And it's so soft. It was amazing. Such a giant. I thought it'd be like concrete. Soft. That surprised me. Can't read about that in a book. You can read it, but you can't feel it. God wants you to feel him. Now watch it. Oh, Pastor, no, be careful. Now as Christians, we ought not to experience. We'll go crazy. We'll go down, we'll like become some like crazy people running around with, no, I'm not talking about running around with flames on your head and all this. No, but listen. 100% biblically based, secured in the Holy Spirit, ought to be the experiential knowledge of God. Can I say this safely? and yet I'll still be condemned for saying it? After faith, faith being the foundation, you ought to feel God moving in your life. And I don't mean with goosebumps, and I don't mean with, oh, did you feel the breeze? Oh my goodness, I think Jesus was in the... I'm talking about a sense. A sense that God's moving. You say, Pastor, how can I be so sure of that? Because my first point of this study is to cooperate with God. That's why. I didn't get that cooperation with God out of a book. God wants to use you. He wants to, and he desires to perfect himself in you. It may take 2,500 years. But that's his plan. And I'm delighted with his plan. I wish he'd kind of hurry it up some, but all in good time. All in God's time. 1 John 5:13. I've been so gone, I don't know what time we're supposed to end here at this church. Okay, yeah, we'll tell second service, stay out. We'll just keep going. 1 John 5:13. This is awesome. These things have been written to you that you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may... That you may experience that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. How awesome is that? I'm not talking about living your life on feelings. I'm talking about because you have faith in God, feelings will ebb and flow, but they'll follow. The true born-again follower of Jesus Christ will not, I believe, be led astray into false religions when you experience this fullness of Christ. Moving on from the doctrine of salvation, that's what he's telling us to do. After faith, now you got the foundation, take virtue, take knowledge. Give yourself to it. Christian, listen, this is your takeaway because we're running out of time. This is, throw yourself into God developing in your life moral character, moral strength. If you pray, and I hope you do, you should write that down. Take this away today. My prayer, this is added to my prayer list. Dear God in heaven, in my Christian maturity, I'm asking you to cause me to have this virtue of moral courage to stand upon biblical convictions. Don't let me sway, God. Don't let me lose heart. Don't let me compromise. That's a prayer to be prayed. God, I want to know you is the next prayer. God, I want to know you. If there's anything in my life that's keeping me from knowing you, remove it. And I want to experience you. Dear church, today, can you imagine, please, if we said, God, I'm going to ask you today, whatever the date is, I forget, but starting today, God, I want you to have your will be experienced in my life. Do it. Moving on from salvation. You're saved. Let's go. How many Christians today waste so much time? They've been believers for years, but they're stuck still wondering about their salvation. They've never moved on to deeper doctrines. And did you know God wants you to move on? Why? Part of sanctification. Write this down. You're gonna love this. Part of the sanctification, part of moving on is the past tense of your sanctification. Ephesians 2 verse 8. Ephesians 2, 8. Past tense. Listen to this. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Did you see that, everybody? Have been. Past tense. Number two. Present tense. Sanctification. 1 Corinthians 1:18. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But us who are being saved... it is the power of God. I'll explain this in a moment. See, Jack, which is it? Number three, future tense. Past, present, and now future tense aspect of our sanctification. Romans 5, 9 says, much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved. So which one is it? All of the above. Listen, here's the deal. The moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ, that moment of salvation, you were saved. Did you know that? Watch, everyone. If it was in a hotel room, if it was in your backyard, if you're driving your 18-wheeler down the freeway, or if you're at a crusade, and you said, Jesus, come into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and you rose again from the dead. I want you. I believe you. You listen, 3 seconds after that prayer, if you tripped and fell, if you crashed that truck, if you choked on a banana, if you got hit by a meteor, guess where you go? Say it again. Heaven. You say, well, I find that. I don't believe that one moment. The church I came from, you had to get 10 steps approved by the ministry leadership before you could be approved. It's too bad Jesus didn't know about that. Thief on the cross begins his day cussing out Jesus. Then he gets convicted, changes his mind, turns to Jesus and says, he says to Jesus, will you remember me? And Jesus turns to that bum thief on the cross representing me. And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Amen. Secondly, when it says that we're being saved, it doesn't mean our salvation, eternal life's in jeopardy. It means that salvation is being worked out in our lives on a day-to-day basis. Every day, in some way, shape, or form, the reality of my salvation is being exposed again, again, and again. And you can monitor that. You can measure that. Like that tree drinks 1,000 gallons of water a day. Are you kidding me? So maybe God might say, look, you're my kid, and this is one of the evidences. You drink my word. You have a desire for the milk of the word. You desire to grow. It's in your DNA. So as you experience your Christianity, Jack, you're being saved. It's only true because you are saved. Thirdly, shall be saved, Romans 5:9. It means the culmination of God's redemptive act. I have to end with this. You know what? The ultimate, you and I, just like those who have died in Jesus, just like you and I who are alive today, there's one more thing that needs to happen for that trifecta, that trinity of truth to be culminated, and it is this. My body needs to be redeemed. See, the inside of you is redeemed. You're saved. In your conduct, the display to the world, you're being saved. The world's watching you. You're watching you. At the end, we will be saved. The last thing for you and I now is when these bodies, thank God, are transformed either at the blast of a trumpet and the call of God upward, our bodies will be transformed in a twinkling of an eye, or if we die, our bodies will be resurrected from the grave. That's the last act of your full redemption. Well, here's the thing. Will it happen? Oh, yeah. I'm not worried about the resurrection part of this carcass. This thing. I know the other two are fully in effect. I know that I'm saved. I know that he's working in me now. And I have no problem worrying about the other thing. I just let him have it. He's going to take care of it. He'll take care of it. So here's, you can close your Bible. I was going to save this for this incredible ending, this wrapping up the illustrations, but it's pages away from here. You know what's amazing about, go ahead and stand. You can stand. You really can. Do you know what's amazing? So when you're driving around Sequoia National Park, there's big trees, but then you keep seeing these signs. Turn left. The giants are 1 mile ahead. You think, what? No, I mean, they got signs. The giants turn left at one point, whatever, and you're going, man, I'm pretty impressed already. And you don't find any of the ancient sequoias on high mountain peaks. Did you know that? Not a one. You see, well, if I was a tree, that's where I would live, on the mountain peak, where, you know, all the action is. The reason why the Avenue of the Giants and General Sherman, who stands like a guardian to his brothers and sisters that are next to him, the reason why they're the size that they are is because they're in a location that is almost like a U shape, like a theater shape, amphitheater shape. And the rain, the snows hit the mountaintop and the water goes down to the valley floor. So that big tree drinks 1,000 gallons a day. But they have, listen, they have no predators. They have no dangers. Did you know they're bug resistant? People have tried to kill them in centuries past. Listen, they bug resistant, they are disease resistant, they're fire resistant. A tree that's fire resistant. Do you know what its great enemy is? It's only one. No, it's not us. Wind. Good job. Wind. I was going to end with an awesome admonition to be careful, Paul says, about listening and falling as a believer to every wind of doctrine that leads people astray. Those giants are like this. They're like this. You want to know why they're like this? Because, listen, they literally draw strength from each other. The other trees that are not sequoias protect them from the winds. The sequoias fellowship together. They are prone to wind, but they have lasted millennia because they stay out of the wind. Don't fall for any shortcuts in your Christian experience. It's bloody, it's rough, it's tough and tumble, it's awesome. And it's how you grow. And you stick together. You fellowship together. And you don't do this on your own. Because you'll see God working in one another's lives and it will encourage you too. Father, we thank you for your truth and for your love for us and for this grand adventure of faith in Christ given to us as a gift. We thank you, Lord, for loving us as you do. We're excited, Lord, that you're not going to stop. And all of us who know you, we would say under our breath, please, and don't ever stop. Finish your work in each of us. We glorify you, God, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called 100% Sanctification Guaranteed, Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. And you know, in your everyday battles, take heart. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. 100% Sanctification Guaranteed, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter, a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ in a very powerful way, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, here's just a reminder that if you've taken on the challenge to grow and mature in your faith, then join the thousands of others who watch and listen to Pastor Jack on YouTube. His channel is called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. You'll find messages, Bible studies, engaging interviews, live event videos, and a whole lot more. The Apostle Peter makes it clear to us that we need to stay engaged in our faith and diligent about learning and sharing with others what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. So head on over to YouTube for Real Life with Jack Hibbs and be sure to hit that subscribe button as well as the notification icon if you'd like to keep up with the latest videos. You can access Pastor Jack's YouTube channel through YouTube or through our website. That's at jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.